For those of you who don't know me, I am I'm Dave Carey, and I'm the executive director at Red Ray Bottle Cap. I've been in that position since about mid-February, and prior to that, and for about 7 years before that, I was a pastor here at Circle. It's really good to be here in this space. Now, people have been very kind as I stepped in, and I can actually even feel in some of the people their excitement of me coming on stage today. I haven't actually preached on this stage before in those 7 years. I was doing other roles, other places, and then doing other things, and maybe they didn't want to hear what I had to say. But I actually was given some opportunities to turn it aside a couple times, but it's been really good to see the excitement on people. And like one of the most common kind of excited kind of ramblings of what I should do and kind of encouragements as I get stuck up here. Actually, today, probably about 4 or 5 times people said, please don't put me to sleep. So I don't know if God says you guys are all tired and overworked or something about me, so hopefully I don't put you to sleep. All right.
I want to actually start here by saying how much I loved my role at Circle. I truly, truly loved my time at Circle. And even looking at the grade 12s on there, my son, Jaden, sitting there in his suit, and the investment that this church has put into my family, specifically him and my daughter, Miranda, it's super, super exciting, and I'm very thankful for this place. I loved my time on staff, and we have an amazing staff team. We're so fortunate to be able to work with such a great group of people here, to have such an amazing staff team at Circle. They give so much of themselves. And I know this because I was there with them and I saw it. Their time and energy, heart, and their soul. They're a very strong and very competent team. And so I'm very, very thankful that they're here for each one of them. I'm so thankful for the time I had to work with them and to learn from them. And I'm very grateful to this church. And you know what? I'm really glad that me and my family can stay here and actually be here still and attend here and be involved here. So we're very, very thankful for that. This change to Redberry came up on us somewhat unexpectedly. We're going to run some pictures of Redberry Campus for those of you that don't know it as I share a little bit more about this. But this wasn't something that I had actually sought out. In fact, actually, there was a time in life where there was an opportunity to be in a similar role at Redberry in the past, and we were very definitely, no, that's not something we'll ever do. Yet, here we were. When I was presented with this, that was my first reaction, too. No, I don't need to do this role. And then, when it was presented to me a second time, I thought, I need to think about this a little bit more. And it still took me time to think on it before even bringing up the idea with my family. But when I was finally ready to share, my family were actually really, really supportive of this idea. My daughter, Miranda, in particular, when I first asked her what she thought of the idea of me applying to be the director of Redberry, her jaw just dropped. For real, Dad? For real? Could this be real? You see, Miranda has been going to the camp for a number of years, and every year that she's there, we see a pivotal spot each time. A growth in her faith journey. Every time, it's another. And sometimes, after being in the summer, as she climbed up, she drifts back down again. But then, she'd climb up again. And so, that was one of the significant reasons we said yes to this position. That, and the fact that both my son, Jaden, and my wife, Coraline, could also see them contributing to the ministry at Redberry. The thought of doing this, together with my family, was actually pretty significant in affirming my stepping into this ministry. And truthfully, we're very excited about it. Nervous at times, very nervous too, but yes, very excited. And I've really been loving my time at Redberry so far. And actually, we haven't even gotten to the fun part yet, but that's right around the corner. Actually, this Friday, coming Friday, is our summer leader training. And our first camp already begins on July 5th. We're very excited. And much like here at Circle, we have an amazing team to work with out at Redberry, and they're working hard to get the camp ready while hosting a bunch of groups in rental groups, and we had the privilege this last, just earlier this month, to host our Circle Senior Youth with Pastor John and his leaders. It was awesome to have them out there and to host them out there. They had a great time. They didn't sleep at all. I can attest that. I don't think anyone in the whole place slept. But they had fun, and we went to sleep while they were having fun. I want to make sure that I share a little bit more about Redberry as I go. I'm not going to go into lots of details about the camp. I want to actually share a message with you that's been on my heart and that I've shared a few times already. But I think there is time, and it will be here and there that I will share a little bit about the message about the camp as I talk. And I hope you're okay with that. But if you want more questions about the camp, there's a booth at the back. I'm going to go there after the service, and we can talk more about the camp then too. So our verse, our theme for this year, before we get started, why don't we take a moment to pray? Can we do that? Father, thank you so much for this opportunity that I have to be here today. I'm really blessed and honored, and so thank you so much for that. God, I thank you for every individual that you've brought here this morning. And I just ask that today you would speak to our hearts. I ask that you would use my words or speak despite my words, but that you would speak to our hearts, that you would speak to my heart, and you would speak to the hearts of those that came here this morning. I believe that everyone is here for a reason, and you have a purpose for each one. And so, God, I pray that you would just speak to the hearts and that we would become more like you as a result of what you have to say to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Our theme this year as a camp is journey, and we've pulled that theme from the book of Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. And so if you want to follow along with me, you can. You can just open up the YouVersion app, Bible app on your phones. You can pull them out, and I believe I have a bit of an outline there if you'd like to follow along. Otherwise, you can just use the screen or look at your own Bibles or however it works best for you. So this theme of journey, I didn't actually come up with this theme for our camp. It was chosen by our camp staff, George and Sarah. And if I'm honest, when they first presented to me the idea of the word journey as our theme, I didn't really know what to think. You see, I'm an 80s kid. And so when I heard the word journey, my mind instantly went, "Don't stop believing." I couldn't get the song out of my head. And chances are you guys will all have it in your head now for the rest of this message. Thank you. You're welcome. but once I did get the song out of my head, I actually thought about that theme a little bit more, and I think it's a very fitting theme for our camp this year. Let's just take a minute to read this passage in Hebrews together. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne." Now, when you think of a race, there's usually an end in mind. There's a finish line in most races, right? But this passage actually doesn't really talk about winning the race. If you read this passage, it actually doesn't really specify finishing it even. It actually is just encouraging us to run the race. I believe it's talking about the journey. It's talking about the struggle of life. It's talking about journey. So the journey of life, yes, I think probably to some extent that, or maybe more likely our faith journey. I think I would argue that it's both, because I don't know how you separate faith and life. And so it's our life of faith. It's our journey of our life of faith. But regardless of where this is talking about, I think this passage is very relatable because we are all on this journey. We're all on this journey of faith and life. We, all of us, are. Whether we're moving forward, whether we're moving backward, whether we're off the path entirely, we're all on this journey at some place. And it's the journey that's important. It's how we run it. It's who's gone before us. Who's running it along with us, who we are running to, and what marks the trail around us. But like I said, we're all on this journey. We all run the race. We're all at different places on the journey, but we're all on it. Many of you know, have maybe heard a little bit about Redberry this past year in the news. We've been on a little bit of a journey ourselves in this last year. We've had a challenging summer and this last summer, and we're still working through some of the repercussions, to be honest. Even today, we're working through some of the repercussions from that day. But we'll get a little bit more into that later in the message, just a little bit. I'll share a bit more. Before we get there, I actually want to bring us back further, because I think it's important to look back and see who's gone before us. And I also, because we're celebrating 80 years as a camp this year. 80 years. That's 79 years of amazing life-changing experiences. And I think it's important to recognize and pay attention to our history, not just our recent past. And speaking of acknowledging our history, how about Kids Capers? 40 years. 40 years. Like, that deserves, yes. 40 years is a big deal. That's a long time. Ministering to kids in our community right here out of this church. 40 years of that. 40 years of lives impacted. I'm actually just curious to see a couple things here. And so if you don't mind participating briefly, how many of you, I'm curious about this one first. How many of you have ever been at Redberry Bible Camp, either as a camper or as a staff or a volunteer? How many of you have been part of the camp? Put up your hands nice and tall. I'm just curious. Okay, cool, cool. Okay, you can put your hands down. I want to see the same thing for Kids Capers. How many of you have been staff, volunteer, or attended Kids Capers? Put up your hands. Awesome, awesome. Now, one more time. How many of you have been a part of any camp, whether that's Kids Capers, Redberry, Kadesh, some other camp? How many of you have been a part of a camp ministry at all in your life? That's a lot of people. That's a lot of people. The truth is, camp, whether it's Kids Capers, whether it's Redberry, whether it's Kadesh or somewhere else, camp as a whole plays a significant role in our lives and in the lives of so many. Since taking this role, I've heard story after story of the impact camp ministry has had on people's lives. But when you stop and think about the ripple effect of that impact, the reach goes much further than those of you who raised your hand. Let me give you an example. Coraline's uncle, Elroy, actually spoke to our seniors, Circle Seniors, back in February at our seniors' luncheon. He spoke and he shared with us at that time that he met Jesus and gave his life to him at Redberry Bible Camp. He met Jesus and gave his life to him at Redberry Bible Camp. He went on to share that on a youth retreat again at Redberry later on in life, he had his first significant encounter with the Holy Spirit. So I think it didn't spark right away. There's a life journey in between, but that's where it started. And Elroy Peters became, after that, an Alliance pastor. And by the way, Elroy's journey was very much part of Circles as well. He was part of University Drive Alliance, and he was connected here as well. But he went on to be an Alliance pastor in many different churches. And then he just recently retired from ShareWord Global, which is better known as Gideon's International, where he's had the opportunity to travel to Costa Rica and Cuba, countless other places, sharing the word of the Lord with hundreds and thousands of people that might not have otherwise heard it. Corlin's uncle is just one person who has impacted countless lives. Countless lives, that one person whose story began at camp. Kids Capers has 39 years of stories like that. Just like that. Redberry has 79 years of stories just like Coraline's Uncle Elroy. Stories just like each of you who raised your hands. When you think of the ripple effect that each of you have from your connection to camp, I don't think it's an exaggeration to say that millions of lives have been transformed by the love of Jesus due to their connection with camp. 79 years worth of stories of God's faithfulness. Man, what a crowd of witnesses of faith we have to look back on. How does this passage in Hebrews start again? Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith. You see, it's important to remember those who have gone before us, because as we step into this journey, the journey of faith and life, we're encouraged when we recognize God's faithfulness in the past. Here in Hebrews, the author of this letter does just that. The crowd of witnesses of the life of faith that he's referring to is a long list of faithful followers of God who he wrote about in the previous chapter, in chapter 11. Now, we don't have time to go through that list today, but when you read through it and examine each person's life, there's so much to be encouraged by. And probably the most consistent and encouraging theme in each one of those stories is that of God's faithfulness. These people listed in Hebrews 11 are often referred to as the heroes of faith. Now, I'm not always sure I like that title for them, because in our day and age of comic book heroes and superhero movies, we tend to think of those heroes as something beyond human, superhuman. But each of these individuals listed in Hebrews 11 were very human, very human. And many of them made very human mistakes. They all went through trials and hardships, but God remained faithful, and he brought them through those hardships. Not one of them was without fault. They all made mistakes, some of them horrible, horrible mistakes that they made, but God remained faithful to them. They all consistently turned their eyes back towards God, which I know implies they turned their eyes away in the first place. But they faithfully came back each time. And each time, God remained faithful as he waited patiently for them to come back to him. God was always faithful to them. Not always in their lifetime, but always. The humanity of each of these people of faith and God's consistent faithfulness to them should encourage us, just as the writer of Hebrews says, to run with endurance the race that God has set before us. When we look at the past, whether it be other people's stories or our own story, when we look back, we can't help but see God's faithfulness. At Circle, we're built on those stories. People went before us. The people that went before us were faithful to God as they gave what they had to build this building. Then, when times were tough and there wasn't enough to give, God was faithful. He softened the hearts of the bank even when it was not enough there for us to make this work. And then, again, through the faithfulness of those who gave what they had and working with the faithfulness of God himself, we're still here in this building. Yeah. The faithfulness of those who have gone before us. What a gift. What a gift. At Redbury, when we look back at God's faithfulness and hear stories like that, stories of Coraline's, like Coraline's uncle, Elroy, and the countless other stories of life transformation, we can't help but be encouraged to continue the race. Remembering, paying attention to those who have gone before us is so very valuable, because as we look back and see their faithfulness, even amidst their very human mistakes, we can be, well, especially amidst their human mistakes, we can be encouraged. Even when we fall off the trail ourselves. Behind me is our staff team, I think. And in the middle of the staff team is the Director of Programs and Development, George Hemberry, and his wife, Caitlin. Now, George is full-time in the summer, but he switches to part-time from September to May at the camp. And the remainder of his time is actually spent as a youth pastor in Dalmany Community Church. Now, this past fall, George had the privilege of baptizing three of his youth. These youth all had been positively impacted in their faith while at camp this last summer. We're excited to see how God blesses their faithfulness and continues that ripple from their lives. But that exact same Sunday that these three youth were baptized, news broke out about an unfortunate, isolated incident that happened at Redbury this last summer. And unfortunately, the story that was heard the loudest was not about the life change that happened in those three youth. Now, I don't share that side of the story to deflect the seriousness of what happened in the summer. I don't want to brush aside all that happened. I acknowledge that what happened this past summer is not acceptable, and it does deserve to be highlighted, if for nothing else than to hold us accountable and to ensure that something like this doesn't happen again. But it's also so very unfortunate that the focus got shifted and that those children and youth who had positive life-changing experiences this past summer will not be able to share their stories without them being tainted by that other story. That being said, we lost our focus as a camp. Even if for only a short while. And the result, well, it wasn't good. But here's the thing. We got off track. When we got off track, when we lose focus and trip and fall, and I say we because we're all prone to wander. We all lose focus at times. But when we lose focus and trip up, we're left with some choices to make. We have some choices to make. For some of us, it's just a minor delay. And with a small adjustment, we can get right back on the path and keep going forward. For others, that fall can be devastating to their journey, to the extent that they may choose never to continue again. But for some, the pain of stumbling and veering from the path can cause us to pause. It can cause us to pause, and it causes us to dust off, look up again, look beyond our feet in front of us, down to the path. And when we can see the prize, we're motivated and strengthened and inspired to get back into the race with renewed vigor. But I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit here. Let's look at this passage again. Just before verse 2, let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. Let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. The NIV says, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. As we step into the journey of faith, we experience freedom when we follow the race marked out for us. It's important to look back to those who had gone before us, but it's also important to look around us and recognize the route that's marked out for us. I grew up in Kelowna, BC. Actually, my first 10 years were here in Saskatoon, and then we moved out to Kelowna when I was about 11. And I know Gord, just last Sunday, I think he talked about the Promised Land being here in Saskatchewan. I lived in BC, so it's good. I love Saskatchewan. It's where I want to be. I actually don't want to go back to BC and move there. But it's a good place to visit. But when we were in BC, in Kelowna, we as a family did a lot of dirt biking. We loved to dirt bike. And so we'd go on these long rides in the mountains pretty much every weekend from spring right through to fall. As long as there wasn't too much snow on the ground, we were out there. And eventually, we got connected to this dirt bike club in Kelowna, and we started competing in these enduro races. Now, these races, I think this is a picture of me right there, actually. Believe it or not, that's me on one of those enduro races. These races would be about 30 to 45-minute loops in the mountains, usually up in Bear Creek Park. Now, this park was full of cattle trails, and they'd wind around all over the mountain. They would crisscross, they'd twist and turn, and they'd connect up again. They're just all over the place. They're just cattle trails. None of them really went anywhere. I never went riding up at Bear Creek all by myself, and probably because if I did, I would get lost. It's just so easy to get lost. But that's where we would do these races, 30 to 45 minute loops, out in the bush on these aimless cattle trails. We'd head off on one trail, and then we just turn into another trail, and it cross over the next one. We just fly around these winding trails, crossing some, turning on others, until somehow we ended up back where we started, and then we do it two more times, that same loop. There is no way we could have ever run that race if someone hadn't gone up there before us and marked the trail ahead of us. But because that trail was so well marked, as long as we paid attention to those markers, we always knew where to go, and we could drive fast and free. See, boundaries or rules, route markers, they're all very important. Too often, boundaries are seen as restrictive, that they're a bit of a hassle. But the truth is, actually, the less boundaries, the less rules we have, the more debilitating it could be, because we don't even know where we're going. Because they're aimless, and you don't know which way to go next. I'm a board game guy. Have any of you ever played Catan? Some Catan players? If you don't, maybe not Catan, I know it's not even in the same ballpark, but Monopoly. Everybody's played Monopoly, right? Right? So Monopoly. Have you ever tried playing Catan or Monopoly without any rules at all? Me neither. Because I don't think it'd be very fun. It'd be just weird and pointless, kind of like Candyland. Weird game. I don't understand it at all. But when our boundaries are clearly marked, we have more freedom to move within them, and we can have fun. When we can see the path marked out for us, we can run with freedom, knowing we're on the right track. Sometimes those route markers and boundaries are clearly marked. Other times, we have to do a bit of the work at setting some of our own boundaries up to keep us on track. When we set up our own boundaries, there may be a little bit more like rhythms or regular movements in our lives. Routines, a way of life, a way of doing things. They aren't complicated, but they're consistent. And they become our guides or route markers to help us stay on track. I don't know how many of you are gardeners. I am not. I'm not a gardener. But I do like a well-cared-for yard. And again, I do not have one of those. I have a yard. Lots of weeds. We visited some friends in Kelowna a few years ago and were admiring his garden. He had this amazing mix of vegetables and berries and flowers. And most impressive to me, not a weed to be seen. So I commented and I said, "Man, you must have spent tons of time out here weeding this garden." His words to me were, "Not really. I just come out every day for a short amount of time, pick the weeds I see. Doesn't take much time at all." It's kind of like that. Not big life-changing rules to keep us on track. It's simpler. Daily rhythms that help to keep us on track. Pastor Wayne once shared in one of his messages about course correction and how course correction works, thinking of a ship or an airplane. You know, a small degree of change, he said, one degree course correction practiced consistently over time can take you in a whole new direction. And unfortunately, that works both ways. If we veer off course just one degree for too long, even though it's just a little bit off the path, over time, we end up far, far away from the goal. But again, with small adjustments and consistently moving forward in the new direction, we can end up right back where we need to be. And that's amazing truth. All of us are prone to missing a marker at times. It's a long race we're running, and it can be hard to keep our focus the whole time. It's easy to drift off and let the worries and the problems and even the fun of life catch our focus instead. And if we don't stop and look up every now and then, those directions, those distractions that we run into, they steal our focus, and they can lead us down the wrong path. But like I said earlier, once we fall off that path, we have some choices to make. because, again, we're all prone to wander. We're all going to wander at times. Sometimes veering from that path is just a minor delay, and it's fairly easy to get back up on the path. Other times, falling off that path is so devastating that all you can do is sit. Continuing just isn't an option, at least not at that moment. But for some, when we veer off the path and stumble, that fall, it wakes us up and we renew our focus. We pause and we dust ourselves off and we look up again. We see beyond what's directly in front of us and we can see the prize ahead. And we can go, and we can run. This past summer, Redberry missed a root marker. We missed a root marker. We veered from the path. But thankfully, when we stumbled, it gave us cause to pause and look up again and correct our course. Now, I personally wasn't at the camp this last summer. I didn't witness or even hear about the event until it was released in the news. So it isn't really my place to share any of the specifics of what happened. But I do know what's happened since, what's happened in response. As a result of us pausing and looking up again, the Redberry Board of Directors were able to see that we were off the route marked out for us. And they were able to start correcting our course. So for us, along with the help of a few professional organizations like Plan to Protect and our insurance providers, we've put up some of our own route markers now again. Things like policy. We redid our policies, staff training, hiring and screening processes, and how we bring people into the camp. We've changed all that. We've made it more robust. Already, with our spring team, I spent 3 hours going through policy review with them. 3 hours of policy sounds super exciting, right? And you'd think, at least I thought they would have been bored and disengaged. But it was quite the opposite. It was actually quite fascinating. They were completely engaged. And they asked questions. And they worked through scenarios. What about this? What about this? What if this happened? And at the end of it all, they 3 hours of policy review, and they thanked me. At the end of it all, they thanked me. These are a bunch of young adults. Why would they thank me for a boring presentation like that? Why? Because it gave them clarity. It gave them freedom. They all of a sudden understood the boundaries and they could work within them. These boundaries and route markers give us freedom. And they're giving us as a camp freedom to care for campers well, which will make it a better experience for both campers and for the staff. So boundaries and route markers, they give us freedom to have a successful journey. And when we think of those who have gone before us, that faithful crowd of witnesses, we can only be encouraged when we look back and see God's faithfulness to them. It's true, these things do make the journey of faith so much easier to step into. But we also need to keep our eyes forward. So as we step into this journey of faith, we're only able to persevere when we keep our eyes on the prize. Let's read this passage again. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. This is the secret to any race, the goal. Without a goal, how would we even begin a race? Now, I know that I said this passage isn't really about the destination, it's about the journey, but knowing what's in front of us sure can have a way of motivating us. Again, when I rode dirt bikes, the best rides always had a destination. Whether that was out on a leisurely Sunday afternoon ride or it was on the 30 to 45 minute enduro loop, the best rides always had a goal. But when that goal was also a prize, well, like a beautiful mountaintop view or a trophy at the end of that race or a new lake that we'd never seen before. Well, then we were always motivated to finish. When there was a prize anticipated at the end, we would persevere through some of the most difficult obstacles. Now, in Hebrews 11, the author gives us example after example of those who were able to endure through the most amazing hardships and persecutions. And while they were all very human, and they all made many human mistakes, many veered from the path at times, they always came back. They always renewed their focus and always found the path and the prize again. They endured because their gaze always returned back to God. That's the story of their faithfulness. But God is also faithful in those stories. And this is actually the most encouraging part of this whole passage. The prize that we're talking about right now is Jesus. The prize we're talking about is Jesus. And he's not something we hope to get at some point in the future, actually. The prize is already with us here right now. He is with us. He's behind us. And he's in front of us. Let's read this last part of these verses one more time. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. As we step into the journey, we can have hope because the prize has already been won. We aren't the only ones on this journey. Jesus was also on the journey, a journey that ultimately took him to the cross. A journey that Jesus entered largely because God knew we struggled to keep our focus. God knew all too well that none of us are immune to veering from the path in front of us. We're all prone to focusing on the wrong things at times. And because of Jesus' journey, we no longer have to run that perfect race. It's not about perfection. It's about the journey itself. It's not about perfection. It's not even about success. It's about keeping our eyes on the prize, Jesus. It's about staying faithful to him. Jesus is already at the end of this race. He already ran it. We just have to keep our eyes on him. And when we veer off the course, you know what? He's waiting there as we dust ourselves off patiently and full of grace. Jesus' journey brought completion to our journey before we ever even began it. Jesus' journey ultimately won the victory. He already won the victory long before we ever began the race. And the beauty of the journey is that the journey that Jesus already took and the victory that he already won is that the beauty of it is he shares it. He shares the victory. He shares the prize. And now he even joins us and he gave us the Holy Spirit to strengthen us so that we can endure the journey itself. All we have to do is keep our eyes focused on him, our champion, the initiator and perfecter of our faith. Jesus knew the joy that awaited him. He saw the prize, and because he was focused on the prize, he was able to endure the worst of the worst in order to win the race. When we keep our eyes focused on the prize, we can endure so much more because of the joy that awaits us. When we keep our eyes focused on him, the things of this world, the distractions, the sin that so easily entangles us, the weight of worry that weighs us down, when we keep our eyes focused on him, it all falls aside. And the path and the prize, they become so much more clear. As we set our eyes on Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, we can be sure that we're moving in the right direction and can be motivated to continue that journey. It's with our eyes set on Jesus that we have hope for the future. It's with our eyes set on Jesus that we can be excited about what's next. All of us. But as a camp, when we look forward to our future, when we look into this summer, we know exactly who ran the race ahead of us. We know who won the prize on our behalf. We know who's calling for our attention, for our focus. And so it's with our eyes focused on Jesus that we excitedly look forward to the summer to come. Let me ask you then, as you look forward to your future, do you look at it with hope and excitement? If not, you might want to ask what your eyes are focused on. Is it the worries of tomorrow? Is it the heaviness of the past? You know what? You're not going to change that overnight. You're not going to change the heaviness. The heaviness doesn't just disappear. It doesn't just go away. But could you adjust your focus just a little bit? Just by 1%? Can you focus on the prize and just take one small step forward? Maybe if you do that today, you could do it again tomorrow. And then maybe you could do it again the next day and the next day. And maybe you could develop a rhythm. And maybe then that 1% turns into a whole new direction. Can I encourage you to ask yourself, what are the habits, the rhythms that you could be developing? Or better yet, I maybe need to ask this of myself at times, and maybe right now. What are the habits that you've let slip and could help you, help point you back in the right direction? What are the root markers that point you towards Jesus? As you step into the summer and you look forward to the fall and where you're going next, what's guiding you? Where are you serving? Where are you learning? Where are you growing? All of these things can become root markers in your life that can take you closer to the prize. But be encouraged. You don't have to do this alone. We don't have to do this alone. Remember, Jesus is the prize, but he's also there right with you, right now, whether you like it or not. Our Savior has already run the race, and he won. He's now with us. Yes. He didn't just win. He's with us at every step of that journey. Every step of the journey, he's right with us. So then when we look at the back at the faithful ones in the past and pay attention to all those boundaries and root markers around us, when we look at that, we see that we're filled with hope and we're able to run with clarity and with confidence, with courage, and with freedom. We're able to run alongside the one who is faithful. And we're able to run towards him and to his gracious, loving arms. Let me pray for you and with you. Father, you know our hearts, and you thankfully know where we stray from the path. You know where we as individuals have veered. You know where we as a campus veered. You know where the church has veered. You know where all of us have veered from the path. And thank you, God, you are right beside us, helping us get back on that path. Thank you, God, for that. What an amazing gift to have you and your Holy Spirit around us every step of our journey, whether we notice you or not, you're right there. Help us to acknowledge you, God. Help us to know that you are there with us. Help us to find those new boundaries. Help us to create those new rhythms. Help us to point our eyes towards you and ultimately find your loving arms, graciously wrapped around us, not worried about how well we run the race, just that we ran it, and just that we're with you. Thank you for winning the prize, so that all we need to do is continue on. You are so good. We thank you so much for your amazing love. In Jesus' name, amen.